We are on Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We're up to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us, Masru lo zekeinim mizikne bezdin, v'korin lefanav b'seder hayom, v'omrim lo ishi kohen gadol, kara ata b'ficha, shema shachachta o shema lo lamadita. So this is, again, discussing the process of the week leading up to Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol was sequestered for that week in the Lishkas Parhejan, as we spoke a lot about in the beginning of the Masechta. So then, basically, the Chachamim would give him certain zekeinim, certain elders from the Beis Din, and they would basically review with him the entire process, the entire, you know, order of the day of Yom Kippur, and they would say to him, you know, my master, Kohen Gadol, you know, you should basically repeat after us everything we're telling you to remember, because either maybe you forgot the halacha, or maybe you never learned it. Now the Mishnah says, Erev Yom Kippurim Shachris, ma'amidin oso b'shachris, then the Mishnah tells us that in the morning of Erev Yom Kippur, they would take the Kohen Gadol, put him by the eastern gate, they would pass in front of him bulls and rams and sheep, all these different animals, in order that he would familiarize himself with the Avodas Hayom. Kol Shevas Hayomim lo hayu monim mimenu machal u'mishteh, Erev Yom HaKippurim mimchashicha lo hayu manichen oso lechol harbim mimnei sha'machal mevias hashena. So for most of the week leading up to Yom Kippur, you know, basically they would let the Kohen Gadol eat and drink whatever he wanted, but Dafka on Erev Yom Kippur, as we'll talk a lot about in the Gemara, they would basically make him eat very minimal amounts of food, so this way he wouldn't fall asleep and possibly have an emission which could make him tummy. So the Gemara explains, Bishlam Hashem Shachach L'chayai Ela Hashem Lo Lamad Mimuk Mina Kiay Gavna VeHasanya VeHakohen Agadol Me'achav Sheyehe Gadol Me'achav B'Choach B'Noy B'Chachma Uva Osher Acherim Omrim Minayin Shim Ein Lo She'achav HaKohanim Agadlin Oso Tam. So the Gemara says, I understand the case in the Mishnah where we said that the Kohen Gadol forgot the halacha. Okay, so people forget sometimes. So that's why you bring in the Zekeinim to remind him of the halacha. But the Gemara says, how is it possible the Kohen Gadol never learned the halacha in the first place? There's a din, actually, ironically, from this week's Parsha, where the Gemara derives from the pasuk of this week's Parsha, V'hakohen ha-gadol me'achav. The Kohen Gadol has to be greater than all the other Kohanim, really all the other people in Klal Yisrael, in several ways. First of all, physically, in terms of his strength, in terms of his physical beauty, in terms of his wisdom, and in terms of his wealth. And in fact, the Gemara even says that if the Kohen Gadol is lacking in one of those areas, you have to build him up. You have to make him stronger. You have to make him wealthier. You have to make him smarter. The question is, how could there ever be a Kohen Gadol who's not well-versed in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim? In other words, every Kohen Gadol has to excel in Chachma, to which the Gemara responds, no, Amar Rav Yosef lo kashya, kan b'miktash rishon, kan b'miktash sheni, to Amar Rav Asi, tarkeva de dinre, aylele marta bas baisos liane malka, al de Rav. The Gemara says that was only true during Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rishon, the Kohanim Gedolim were all excelling in Chachma and wisdom and many other areas. But in Bayis Sheni, as we already know, as we've spoken about, or you know, back on Daf Tes, Bayis Sheni, many things were corrupted during Bayis Sheni. And Gemara actually quotes a story of this very wealthy woman named Marta Bas Baisos, who basically paid off the king to make Yehoshua ben Gamla the Kohen Gadol. It happens to be that Yehoshua ben Gamla actually wasn't a terrible person. He was actually a good Kohen Gadol. But again, the very fact that people were paying off kings and bribing people to become the Kohen Gadol, as we spoke about earlier, is an indication that things were not so great during Bayis Sheni. So it was very possible that you would have a Kohen Gadol during Bayis Sheni who was not well-versed in the halachos at all. Fine. Then the Mishnah told us, Erev Yom HaKippurim Shachris. We said on the Mishnah that on the morning of Erev Yom Kippur, they would take the Kohen Gadol by the eastern gate, they would pass all these animals in front of him. We said specifically bulls, rams, and sheep. So the Gemara says, Tana afas seirim. This other brisa says not only bulls, rams, and sheep, but also goats. So the question is, Asan didan, my taima lo tana seirim. How come our Mishnah doesn't mention goats? So the Gemara says, Kevan da'alchid ka'asu chal shadayte. We know that the goat is associated with the seir la'azazel, and that seir la'azazel that's pushed off the cliff on Yom Kippur is meant to atone for our sins. So we're afraid that if the Kohen Gadol sees the goat on Erev Yom Kippur, it's going to, you know, it's going to remind him of all the sins of Klal Yisrael, and it's going to kind of, it's going to kind of, you know, make him lose his train of thought, and it's going to overwhelm him. So then the Gemara says, "Yihachi parnami alched hu daase." So the Gemara says, "But then, by that logic, we shouldn't pass the bulls in front of him either, because the power is also atoning for the sins of Klal Yisrael." So the Gemara says, "No par kevan to all of yal echav hakohanim hu daase beechav hakohanim iika inish to ispe milsa meida yada le mahader le betshuva bechulu Yisrael lo yada." The Gemara says that it's that. In other words, words, in the case of the par, so the par is specifically atoning for the Kohen Gadol, for his immediate family, and for the other Kohanim. So apparently, the Gemara assumes that the Kohen Gadol was more familiar with the Kohanim. So if there was a particular Kohen who had done some kind of an Avera, the Kohen Gadol would talk to him, and the guy would end up doing tshuva. But the odds that the Kohen Gadol knew the dealings of every single Jew in Klal Yisrael and knew exactly what was going on in their heads and what Averas they had done was highly unlikely. So if he had seen the goats walking by, it would have brought up those images of Averos that were done, which would have basically overwhelmed them. The Gemara says, Amar Ravina, Hainu da Amar Inche, Ibar Achtach Dayala Have Chazi Beshuka Kamelo Sachlif. If your nephew is a police officer, don't walk in front of him in the marketplace. What does that mean? So Rashi explains what that means is that because the assumption is that since he's your nephew, he's your relative, he knows what's going on in your head. If he's a police officer, he may know that you did something bad. So it's the same idea. Don't have the Kohen Gadol have these goats walking in front of him, because it's going to remind him of all the averos that people had done. Fine. Then we said in the Mishnah, Kol Shiva Sayamim Lo Hayumonim. We said that for the duration of the week leading up to Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol could eat and drink whatever he wanted, except in Erev Yom Kippur, we basically limited what he could eat and drink. So the Gemara says, Tanya Reb Yehuda ben Nakosa Omer, Ma'achilin Oso Slasos Uveitzim Kedei Lamasmiso. So on Erev Yom Kippur, we would dafka feed the Kohen Gadol fine flour and eggs, because those things would loosen his bowels, which would allow him to go to the bathroom on Erev Yom Kippur, so he wouldn't have to run into the bathroom all day on Yom Kippur itself. So Amrulo, Kol Shekein Shat Mevila Dechimam. The Gemara says, no, that's a terrible idea. Don't feed him fine flour and eggs, because those things could lead him to becoming aroused and having an emission, which would make him tamei and make him disqualified from doing the avoda. Then the Gemara says, Tanya Sumcha Samar Mishum Rabbi Meir, Ein Ma'achilun Oso Lo Abi, Va'amrila Lo Abavi, V'yeshomrim Af Lo Yayin Lovan, Lo Avi, Lo Estrog, V'lo Beitzim, V'lo Yayin Yashan, Va'amrila Lo Abavi, Lo Estrog, V'lo Beitzim, V'lo Basar Shamin, V'lo Yayin Yashan, V'yeshomrim Af Lo Yayin Lovan, Mipnei Shehayayin Lovan, Mevias To Adam Lidetum. So again, these are specific foods that the Gemara tells us that the Kohen Gadol should refrain from, because they could lead to emissions. And again, the Gemara gives all these different examples of not eating an esrog or eggs or old wine or fatty meats or white wine. All these different kinds of things in different ways could lead to a person having an emission. Fine. And the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Zav Tolum Lo B'Machol V'Chol Minei Machol. The Gemara says that if a person experiences an emission of Ziva, you don't have to necessarily assume that it's Dafka because he's a Zav. It could just be because of a certain type of food he ate or because of a certain quantity of food that he ate. That could lead him to having an emission. And the Gemara says, Elazar ben Pinchas Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Ein Ma'achilin Oso Lo Chagvi V'Lo Gavam V'Lo Kol Dvarim Ha'Mevien Lidei Tuma Lo Chagvi Lo Chala V'Lo Gvina V'Lo Beitza V'Lo Yayin V'Lo Gavam Mei Grisin Shel Polu V'Asar Shomin Umurias V'Lo Kol Dvarim Ha'Mevien Lidei Tuma La Asuye Mai La Asuye Hadesan Rabbanan Chamisha Dvar Mevim Es Adam Lidei Tuma V'Eluhin Hashum B'Hashachalayim Achalog Lugos Ha'Beitzim B'Hagargir. So again, the Gemara rattles off a whole bunch of other food items that a Kohen Gadol should not eat or drink before Yom Kippur, because it may lead him to having an emission. We said milk and cheese and eggs and wine and these bean soup and fatty meats and fish that are pickled in brine. And then the Gemara says that there are five things that can lead a person to an emission, which are garlic and cress and chalog lagos are some kind of pickled vegetables and eggs and gargir, according to some, is according to Rashi seems to be arugula. So the Gemara says vayetzei echad el hasadel lilakedo roast. The Gemara cites a pasuk from Sefer Malachim that says that a person went out to the field to gather oros. So what are these oros? Tanam Yishmei de Reb Meir, Zegalier, that's a reference to arugula that we just referenced in the Gemara. Amrab Yochanan Lama Nikra Shimon Oros. Why is arugula referred to as oros? Shemeiros Esainayim, because it basically improves your eyesight. And the Gemara in fact says, Amar Rav Huna, the Girsa here should be Hamotze Gargir Im Yachal Achlo Achlo Vimlav Ma'aviro Al Gabeinov. The Gemara says that if a person is able to eat arugula, that's the best. That gives you the most health benefits. But if you can't eat it for whatever reason, you could even just put it on your eyes, and apparently the arugula has some kind of benefit to your eyes. However, Amar Papa Begargira Matsunar. Papa qualifies and says that specifically when it comes to arugula that grows on a boundary, on a border of a field, because that arugula is basically unadulterated. It's not affected by any other plants. That's the most efficient, the best type of arugula that can cause your eyesight to improve. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Gida Lamarav, Achsenai Lo Yochal Beitzim Lo Yishin Betaliso Shabalabais. The Gemara says that if a person is a guest at someone's house, you should not eat eggs, and you also should not sleep in the host's cloak. The assumption is that, as we mentioned already earlier, eggs can lead to an emission. If a person has an emission while sleeping in the cloak or the blanket or whatever of the host, it could be extremely embarrassing in the eyes of the host. Rav ki mikla ledarshish machriz man hav yuliyoma. Rav Nachman kad mikla leshachnitziv machriz man hav yuliyoma. So these Amoraim, when they would go to these cities, they would announce, who's going to marry me for the day? What does that mean? Because they wanted, as we'll see in the Gemara coming up, they wanted to subdue their Yetzer Hara. So when they went to a certain city for a day, they basically put out some kind of a statement, and they asked all the women in the city, who's going to be my wife for the day? So the Gemara says, what does that mean? V'hasanya Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer lo yisa adam isha b'medina zo v'yelech v'yisa isha b'medina acheres shema yizdav guzei itzel zevenim sa'ach no se'achos v'mali kola ulam kulam amzeros yal zanemar malo ha'aretzima. The Gemara says, how could you do this? How could you go to a random city and, you know, just marry a woman for the day? Because what happens if you have a child with that woman, and then let's say that woman has no idea that there's another woman that you're married to, you know, a few hundred miles away, and then maybe each of them are going to have kids, and their kids are going to end up meeting and marrying each other. They could potentially be related. They could be brother and sister. They could be, you know, whatever. So the Gemara says you can't just go around marrying women, you know, arbitrarily without knowing who the other wife is, because it could potentially lead to mamzerus down the line. So the Gemara says no. Amri Rabbanan Kala Islu. The Gemara says since everyone knew that these rabbis were coming to town, there wasn't, in other words, there was no concern that maybe the wife who married the rabbi for the day wouldn't know about the fact that he was married to someone else. In other words, everyone knew when these rabbis were coming to town who they were, and therefore it would be very well publicized who they were marrying. So the Gemara says, okay, but we have another issue with this. The Gemara has a din based on Maseches Ksubis that if, let's say, for example, a man goes over to a woman and says that he wants to marry her, there's a din that the woman has to observe Shivanakim right there and there. Now, we're used to thinking of Shivanakim for a woman after she's a Nida, in other words, after she's already married. But the truth is, there's this halacha called Dam Chimud. Dam Chimud means that just the very fact that a woman has this desire to be with a man, in other words, once she has that, once she hears that she's going to get married, she could potentially already start menstruating on the spot. So the Gemara has a din that because of this concern of Dam Chimud, a woman must observe Shivanakim the moment that a man wishes to marry her. So the question is, how could Rav Nachman just go to these cities and say, who wants to marry me today? Because the assumption is that any woman who wanted to marry her would first have to observe Shiva Nakiyam. So the Gemara says, you're right. Rabbanan Odue Havamodulahu Mikadim Havamakadmi Mishadri Shlucha. These rabbis would inform the cities a week in advance. So in other words, if they knew they were coming next week, they would send out a message and they would say, anyone who's interested in marrying me should now observe Shiva Nakiyam. And then by the time they got there, they would have already observed their Shiva Nakiyam. That's one possibility. The Iba Yasema Yichude Havamiyachdulahu Lefishainu Doma Mishayesh Lapas Pasalo. Another possibility is not that these Amoraim were actually trying to marry these women, but they were simply going to be, you know, in yichud with them. They were going to be alone in a room with them. What's the purpose of that if they were not going to actually consummate the marriage? The Gemara says because this is the famous idea called pas pasala, that in other words, if the whole goal of doing this was in order to quash their yetzer hara of having inappropriate thoughts, so the Gemara has a famous idea called pas pasala, that if a man knows that he has a wife somewhere, so even though right now he's not engaged in the act of sexual relations, but because he knows he has that potential outlet, that would also help him and also prevent his yetzer hara from causing him to do averus. Okay.
Then Rabbi, yeah. I'm assuming that they didn't have telephones back then.
Yes.
So even if somebody was going to another town, it still have to be a certain amount of time for a message to get.
Correct. So they would probably have to send them that. Again, I don't know where they lived in relation to these cities. I don't know how far away they were, but yeah, they would have to send the messenger, you know, I don't know, X number of days before the week before they wanted to come, and then, you know, hopefully he got there within 7 days. Yeah, that's the assumption of that answer in the Gemara, yeah. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, Misaru zikne bezdim la zikne kahuna ve'eluhu be'savtinas ve'hishpiyuhu ve'nifteru ve'holchu lahem ve'amru lo ishi kohen gadol anu shluchei bezdin ve'ata shluchenu ushliach bezdin mashbiyan anu alecha b'mi sheshikin shemo b'bayis hazeh shelo tishan adavar mikol ma sha'amarnu lach hu poresh uvocha ve'hem porshin uvochen. The Mishnah tells us that these zikneim, these zikne bezdin, would take the kohen gadol, bring him up to the be'savtinas where that was the family that made the ketores, and they would basically make him swear not to deviate from all the halachos that they told him to follow, and then we just go off to the corner and cry. Well, again, the Gemara explains the reason why they had to do this is because, as we mentioned before, during Bayis Sheni, there were many tzedukim, many kohanim gedolim who were not following the halacha. So in order to kind of weed out who the real ones were and who were not, they had to kind of, you know, drive home this point that you had to follow exactly what we tell you. Im haya chacham dorish, im la'al talmidei chacham dorishim lefanav. So if the kohen gadol was a talmid chacham, he would just learn Torah by himself. If he wasn't, then others would come and teach him Torah. Im ragil likros korei, im lav korei lefanav. And again, if he was an expert at reading Tanakh, he would read the psukim himself, and if not, others would come and read for him. Again, they would read various svarim of Tanakh, you know, particularly those svarim that were interesting, that had stories in them, you know, like Eov, Ezra, Divrei Hayamim, and the Mishnah says often that there was that Zechariah ben Kavutal said that many times. I read Sefer Daniel in front of the Kohen Gadol. Again, the point being, they would read parts of Tanakh that were considered interesting, that would keep the Kohen Gadol awake and would prevent him from having an emission. Okay.